it's love and marriage.
Well, it was nice to see two very beautiful, bright people in love, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and we all watched that, and I don't know, I just get so excited about people living their lives together, and it just seems like such a promising thing for them. They have money, they have prestige, they're going to be doing good things for the world, and it's just really wonderful to see, and I was very happy to get away from school shootings and things like that to watch that. But not all relationships work out, and not all relationships are easy to find. And that's why we have Bella Gandhi, who's the founder of the Smart Dating Academy, as our guest tonight. Hi, Bella. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to be here tonight.
Yes, we've been working together and doing some television together, and I'm fascinated with what you do. Can you tell our listening audience what exactly Smart Dating Academy does?
So we teach people the most important thing that they need to learn, which is how to identify partners that actually make you happy, because the person that you spend the rest of your life with, there's nothing more important than that.
Nothing.
So, nothing. Zero.
Nope.
Right?
It'll
determine 90% of your happiness or 90% of your misery. So we teach people how to identify those characteristics and then use online dating and real life to find those people and have fun through the process.
I was looking at statistics on online dating, and they vary, but basically one said that for all people who are dating right now, actively looking for somebody, approximately 40% use online dating. Is that, I mean, that's a lot of people looking to date this way.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this and if you feel like you're the last single person left in Chicago, I promise you, you're not, because the census statistics say that there's 107 million single adults in this country. It's 43% of the adult population. So if at any given time half of those are dating online, 40 to 50%, you've got 40 to 50 million people out there. So if you think there are no lids to your pot, guys, guess what? Get excited. There are. And there are a lot of them.
So again, you know, I was happily married the first time. I was widowed, and I'm happily married again. And I've never been on a dating site. And I guess I just think, why is it so hard for people to find good people? I remember when I was a young single thing, we met people at work, we met people through work, we met people out jogging, we met people at the gym, and it just seemed when people set you up, you went to parties. What is it about now that it makes it harder?
Well, number one, as we get older, right, in our 20s, you know, there's many, many upwardly mobile singles, right? But as you get into your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, right, it becomes harder to meet people. So I say that my clients that come in that are dubious about online dating, they're like, I don't want to do it. It's for degenerate, creepy people. No, change your lenses. Thank God for online dating, because the pool of people that you could potentially meet is vastly expanded.
If anyone has a question for Bella, I'm sure you do, give us a call here. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200, 981-7200, or text. Bella, how does online dating change the dynamics? Because my thought is this, and tell me if I'm wrong. You know, when you dated somebody in the past, you sort of stuck with one person, and maybe you gave them a second chance or a third chance, and maybe you saw them at work or you saw them somewhere out and about. But now people are online, and so they have five different options, and they're texting all these different people, and they're giving one person a chance, but then they've got someone else on hold for Friday. I mean, is that really fair to people, and does that make it more difficult?
You know, I think what I tell all of my clients, and for anybody listening to this, is assume that people are dating other people, number one, in today's day and age. You're not exclusive unless you've had that conversation. But with online dating, it can create this fallacy of abundance, right? You're like, meh, a date that might have been amazing or even okay 20 years ago where you would have given them the second date. Today, it's like, meh, kind of disposable. I'm going to see who else is in my
Tinder
matches today.
That seems very unhealthy.
It can be, right? And that's one. You know, like anything great, I believe in online dating. I think it's amazing. But that is certainly the underbelly to it.
Now, I also read a statistic that like 53% of all people who are online dating lie about their profile, mostly their weight, their age, and their income level. So you kind of have to read it with a shaker of salt, right?
Yeah, absolutely, right? They say if men are going to lie about two things, it's their height and their income, and if women are going to lie about two things, it's their age and their weight. So, you know, I tell women that are going on dates, look, you know, you never know. Just make some assumptions in your mind for both men and women. If a guy says he's 5'9", maybe just assume he's about 5'6". So when you walk into the date, if he's actually 5'9", you'll be pleasantly surprised. So just go into this. And again, all of these things, unfortunately, we tell these fibs and these white lies about ourselves because it ultimately comes from this belief, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to find someone, you know. And I have 35-year-olds that think that they're way too old, and maybe if I was 31, I'd get more people. And then I've got 70-year-olds that say the same thing. So it's just a grass is always greener phenomenon. Don't lie in your online profile.
No, I that would be a turnoff. Just because that doesn't speak well of future of honesty with someone who's going to lie about something as basic as their weight or their age. I mean, it just seems to me that that's a red flag. But talking about red flags, and Bella, as you know, I am very involved in the practice of family law. So I see a lot of people who have failed relationships. In fact, my clients all have failed relationships. Otherwise, right. They wouldn't be approaching me unless it's a prenup, of course. But I wonder, you know, how do you deal with someone's past relationships? Because it seems to me that if you've made mistakes in the past, you don't want to make them again, and that you might be prone to doing so. So how do you handle that as a dating coach?
Well, one of the things we do is we really dig into our clients' backgrounds, and not just their marital or dating history, but even how they grew up. What was their parents' relationship like with each other? What was it like with them? What was it like when they were adults? Which can have a profound impact on how we choose our own partners and how we come to a partnership. So we do a lot of in-depth work to put those guardrails around people to say, you know what, you might like narcissistic or emotionally avoidant people because that seems to be your pattern. One of your parents was like this. So we're coaching them on a weekly basis to make sure. We're like skydiving instructors that are taped to our clients when we jump out of the plane so that, you know, we're their extra parachute. So we really make sure that they don't do the same thing over and over.
So let's just say that you're raised with a dad, let's say, who's a narcissist and not emotionally available, as you said. So now you go on a date and you get these little traits and you think, wow, this is just making me feel very comfortable. It makes me feel like I'm with my dad because it's the same personality. How do you shake someone? Because you're attracted to something that's a comfort zone to you, even if that comfort zone is not healthy. So how do you break people of that? How do you have them recognize that what they're doing is an unhealthy behavior?
Yeah, we have we have green flags and red flags. Like, we have a whole process, and we phase out red flags by dating. Like, what are you going to see as a red flag? What I call phase zero, reading profiles, reading messages, versus date one to date 10, and then date 10 onwards. And what happens at 4 months. So it's really knowing what they're going to be prone to, and then helping them to maneuver those landmines around that. And if we know, we tell our clients, we need to know about this, this, and the other thing, whatever those are. And we have them journal after every date. If you feel like, oh, wow, there were explosive fireworks and great chemistry, that's potentially a red flag to me right away on date one.
Interesting, because I think a lot of people say there's got to be chemistry, otherwise there's not going to be date two. And maybe that's not the best way to look at things.
Sometimes when there's too much chemistry, what I have seen in our practice is that chemistry is actually familiarity.
Yes.
It means you remind me of someone I've dated in the past, and it pushes that old button again. So when someone says to me, oh my God, I had the best first date last night, I'm like, deep, 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 my antennae are going off. Like, we got to really manage this one.
Interesting. Interesting. We're talking to Bella Gandhi from the Smart Dating Academy. If you have a question here, give us a call. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. Tell me why ain't nothing but a party. Tell me why ain't. We're talking to Bella Gandhi with the Smart Dating Academy. We've got a texter who says, what should you watch out for in someone's online profile to make sure they are real and not a catfish or a scam?
Well, number one, make sure that this person has more than one photo. Or if the photo looks too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. If when you get the messages from these people, even if their profile looks okay and they have one photo, if they're if it seems like it's full of bad grammar and bad spelling, a lot of times the unsavory catfishers are coming from different countries, from call centers. So if it seems weird and the messaging doesn't match the profile, it's definitely a red flag. And anybody who tells you that, oh, you know what, can you do me a favor and just email me at bella@hotmail.com because my subscription is ending tomorrow, that is a red flag for sure, because sites like Match can monitor your activity if you're emailing within the system. But as soon as you pull off and go to somebody's personal email, don't take that bait, because now guess who can watch that? Nobody.
Got it. Got it. Now, one of the interesting things I saw in my research was that people, when asked, what are the most important things to you in choosing people online? And the two things were common interests and looks. Okay? So those are the two most important things in making a choice. What do you say to those criteria?
I think that online sites kind of force us into that, right? What are you really allowed to do? Post photos of yourself and talk about your interests. But okay, that's fine. But what I tell people is look at the tone of what someone's saying. Does it seem like someone you would want to be friends with? And most people are going to look better in real life than they do in their photos. So give people a chance. Talk to them on the phone before you actually go out on the date so that you can make sure that this person doesn't have a cyber personality, which is very different from their real personality.
And, you know, looks, let's start with that, because I think there are a lot, let's just say that the idea is that men are looking for people that have a certain look, and there are a lot of women who are not perfect weight, or they're not the most beautiful person in the world. How do you approach dating when you feel like maybe I'm just not good looking enough to hook a guy in this situation? I mean, how do you tell people that looks really aren't that important, or are they?
Look around. Are the only people that you see in coupled, happy relationships size zero supermodels? No. Look and just be inspired by that. You don't have to be some idealized version of yourself. What you want to do is dress yourself up, look good, and get a good set of photos taken that put you out there as the best version of yourself. And remember, people want to date the person in the picture, so don't have them photoshopped up. But that's the person that has to show up to the date, too.
Right. I mean, yeah, if you post a picture of Marilyn Monroe and you show up, you know, looking like yourself, that to me is just...
deception.
It's deception. It would make me very nervous and not really able to have a good time on a date.
Yeah, absolutely not. But no, put yourself out there. Just like I always say, that there are many lids to every pot. Love exists for every person on this planet that wants it. And you have to start to believe that for yourself. And love is a when, it's not an if. And if you continue, if you start to believe these things, and I promise you, if you're out there raising your eyebrows going, I don't know, you haven't dated the kinds of people I have, Bella, I'm telling you, it's true. I've been doing this professionally for almost 9 years. I see happy stories happen to people all over this country of all ages. So love is out there for you.
I got a text from the 708. My experience with Match.com is if the person is sitting on a motorcycle, they're really short. I like that.
That's really funny. I get a lot of them. Oh, if a guy's got a hat on in 5 out of 6 of his photos, he's probably bald, right?
That's right.
Right. So you hear all of these things. That's interesting about the motorcycle.
As a family law lawyer, I see people who go through divorces, and maybe by the time they get to me, they might be on their second divorce. That's not uncommon. And I am interested in how people handle these kinds of breakups in their lives. And it doesn't even have to be a divorce. It could be just a long-term relationship. But some people are okay with their breakup, and they're happy to move on, and they're ready to put down the baggage and just move forward. And then there are some people that are bitter, and they don't get over it. And even they think they should have gotten an extra $10,000. They should have not sold the house. Whatever it is, they're bitter. And I find that I just really I'll be surprised if they find someone given that bitterness. Do you see that a lot?
Yeah, I see a lot of people, and not so much with our client base, because I try to do a good job of vetting for people, because to your point, bitterness and anger and resentment that hasn't come out yet, and that PTSD, that has to be processed. And if you have tried therapy and it hasn't worked, guess what? Get a new therapist. It's like a personal trainer. Just because one doesn't work doesn't mean they're not all going to work. But yeah, you need to process and put that anger to bed and get rid of it before you're actually ready to date again.
You were a business person before you started doing this. So you worked for Arthur Andersen, and you worked for a family chemical business. How did your business background help you in this dating and relationship business that you're in?
It helped me to understand what process and procedure were like in virtually anything you want to do. So even in the dating and the love business, you know, I put my own process together in my early 20s to find my own husband, and I help many of my friends do the same throughout our 20s. They're all still happily married, have kids, and so the business background really helped me to say, okay, what's important in dating and finding love? There is a process, but we're not taught that in this culture. We're taught, what are we taught growing up about love and marriage? It's like, oh, you'll just know when the person's right.
Love at first sight.
Right. No, sometimes you don't just know, right? 50%
right.
of marriages end in divorce. We don't just know. So I think having the business background helped me to really say, okay, what's important from A to Z, that anybody can go through this process and find love and get excited and have some fun doing it.
Now, the one of my pet peeves is my friends will say, Karen, you have to help me find somebody. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, better call Bella. But what is it that you're looking for? And these people, and I'll say they're mostly women, but men too, they will pull out a list.
You know,
it's like from a cartoon, one of those big long rolls. You
it's
know,
like a declaration of independence.
Exactly. And he has to be this tall. He has to be of this religion. He has to like baseball. He can't, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And you sit there and you say, that's going to make it really hard to find somebody if you have a list and preconceived notions of who your next husband is going to be.
Yeah.
How do you get people down off of that whole trip?
We have a whole process that turns that checklist over on its head, and it's called the marriage map. So we actually transform that checklist, which, to your point, for most women, it's, I want him to be tall, 5'10 or taller. I want him to be funny. I want him to be sophisticated. He should know how to dress himself. He should have a passport with at least 50 stamps. I mean, the list is bananas, like what we actually hear, which, again, and understand, it doesn't mean you're bad if, you know, those happen to be the top five items on your checklist, but it's also things that we're wired to want from an evolution standpoint, which don't really serve us anymore. So we're kind of spinning around in circles. But yeah, your checklist should probably have 5 to 8 things on it, maybe.
And, you know, it's interesting to get a little bit personal here. I was married happily once, and my husband died, and I'm happily married again. And I look at the two people, and they're so different, completely, totally different about almost every single thing, common interests, all that stuff. But the things that are the same are those real basic trite things that we say, trust and fun and support and all of those things, the Venn diagram that intersects, are those things, not the way they look, what, you know, what they like to do on a weekend. Those things are completely irrelevant when it comes to a relationship. And I think, having seen that in my own personal life, I try to get people not to pay attention to that as much.
No, that's really good advice, and you're right. Those are the things that really make the distance. You know, I tell my clients, one of the most underrated human values in marriage and relationship is kindness.
Yeah.
Being kind to each other and having restraint in, after you've been married for a long time, you know how to push each other's buttons, right? And
mm-hmm.
It's knowing how not to do that. And instead, when you want to say that negative thing, how do you walk away, spend that 20 to 30 minutes apart, and then come back together again, very rational about whatever it was you were arguing about. So,
Bella Gandhi, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell everyone how to contact Smart Dating Academy?
Go to smartdatingacademy.com, and you'll see tons of videos and information, and, you know, you can ask me any kinds of questions you'd like as well, and I will answer you.
And if you set somebody up and they get married, we're going to have them on the show and give them a little wedding gift. How's
that? Do you hear that, guys? Royal wedding gift.
Thank you, Bella. Take care.